This is straight out of Crumpton with your host, Greg Crumpton.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Straight Out of Crumpton. I'm Greg Crumpton, your host. And man, what a great day. Beautiful day. I'm out here in Charlotte, North Carolina today. And got the opportunity to have a gentleman who I've come to, oddly enough, we've never met, but I feel like he's a friend. And we're definitely friends in the same mission in life of skilled trades. So tonight we have Steve Turner, the founder and the head everything at bringbackthetrades.com. So Steve, welcome, man. Glad to finally get to chat with you one-on-one.
Thank you, Greg, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, I think I was thinking about this earlier today, and I don't know how many years, maybe 4 or 5 years now, I've been, you know, following along with what you're doing and trying to support the effort in a couple of different ways, a little bit financially, but more so trying to make sure that I repost and just, you know, cheerlead for your efforts in every way we can. And, I just find it awesome that what you're doing, you know, because I believe in the trades like you know I do. Mm-hmm. But before we get too deep, why don't you just give everybody a quick little bio on yourself, what you do, how you wound up here, and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again. So my real 8 to 5, or like we were talking earlier, my 24-hour day job is I do custom upholstery. Not, I wouldn't say custom. We do a lot of a custom upholstery, but we do retail. We do convertible tops, seats, boat seats, stuff like that. But we do a lot of custom interiors. We have one customer that we do a lot of 67, 16, 69 Shelby Mustangs that go into a museum in California. But my story is just like, you know, the reason why I'm so passionate about bringing back the trades is I was the typical kid that, you know, stayed back in first grade, couldn't really pay attention, had a real hard time. I struggled with school because I just didn't want to be there. I wanted to be out running around playing, building, you know, bikes and stuff like that. So when I got to high school, that's when I really hit the roadblock because it became real school. Like you have to sit down, you have to pay attention. And I was my freshman year, I was really having a difficult time. And my mother, you know, saying, you know, you got to focus, you're getting F's. And I said, I want to quit. And I'm one of four. I'm the youngest. My two sisters and brother all went to college, did really well. They were really good books.
I laugh because I've been down that same road.
Yeah. So, you know, my sophomore year, I got through freshman year, not easily, but I got through it. But my sophomore year, I found this class called Auto Body. Now I was working at Shaw's and in the produce department. I liked cars. I bought a car. I just love, you know, stuff. But I found this class called Auto Body, and it was at the end of the day. It was my last two blocks, and it was great because I got addicted to it. I loved it, but I had to go to school and go all the way through the school day to get to the class. And the biggest thing is I had to pass my other classes in order to stay in that class because it wasn't an elective one. So right. Yeah. I started focusing really on, you know, getting good grades to stay in that class because I really liked it. Fast forward to my junior year, how I got into my career was working at Shaw's, and there was a little postcard on the wall that said sweeping floors at upholstery shop. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. So I went there and I applied for it and I got the job. And my job was cleaning the floors, cleaning the bathrooms, going to the post office, doing whatever they wanted me to do. And I loved the guys I was working with. And I started really enjoying working there. And then my senior year, my boss said, what do you want to do after school? I said, after I graduate. I said, you know, I'd like to become full time. So he goes, okay, well, we're going to start training you. So I started sewing and working, you know, after hours. He gave me the keys like, hey, if you want to bring in your own car, you want to do this. I picked it up really quickly. But so I graduated. I was there for 1 year. And then if you're old enough to remember the recession of 87, well, he laid everybody off. He He laid everybody off. I was 19 years old, and my father said, "Hey, I got this little garage, $150 a month. You think you can make a go at?" I'm like, "Yeah, no problem. I can do this."
Yeah.
I had $3,000 in the bank, and if you know me, I'm the kind of person that when I say I'm going to do something, I'll do it. I'll suffer whatever I got to do. So, started with $3,000 in the bank, ran out of money pretty quickly. I literally, and this is the true story, I had to live in my office for almost a year because I couldn't afford rent, take a shower out of a garden hose in the back because I said, you know what, I'm going to make this work. And I slowly made it work, slowly made some money, built the business to what it is today. It's 34 years, 35 years this December. I've got one guy working for me. We got a huge clientele. It's the typical, work with your hands, just keep pushing to get there. But where the story of Bring Back the Trades comes in is in 2006, I hired my first guy. So I worked the business for like 15 years by myself, struggling.
Wow.
Yeah, it wasn't easy, but, trades aren't easy. I don't sugarcoat this. Trades, they're not easy, but if you're determined, you can do it. So in 2006, I hired a guy, started growing. Once I got a guy really working 8 hours a day and me selling the jobs and working, it really took off compared to just me running it.
Sure.
Started building clientele. But then I tried to, hire more guys or girls and couldn't find anybody. All my plumbers, electrical guys kept coming over, dropping off their trucks and like, I can't grow my business. I can't find any kids to, nobody wants to do this. Well, August of 2017, I woke up one day, decided to make a little baseball cap that says, "Bring back the trades." And I'll make this story as quick as possible because it wasn't really quick. But so I called my embroidery guy and I said, "Hey, make me up a hat that says, bring back the trades on it." Because I do custom seats. I embroidered, stuff into the seats.
Gotcha.
He goes, "What do you want on it?" I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You want a logo on it?" I said, whatever you want. So I picked up the hat and it had a hammer and a saw on it. Wearing that, and it was just a hat. That's all it was. I'm wearing it in my shop. 2 days later, my builder down the street, which builds a lot of very high-end homes, goes, "Hey, where'd you get that hat?" He goes, I said, "I made it." He goes, "Give me 12 of them." I said, "Why?" He goes, "I've been talking about this to my crew forever. We need to build the trades up again."
I said, "Wow.
You want 12 of them?" He goes, "I need 12 of them." So I called my guy. He's like, "What do you need 12 of them for?" I'm like, "Well, my friend needs them." So I gave him 12 of them. 2 weeks later, his electrician comes by, says, "Hey, can you take out the logo and put a lightning bolt in there? So it's like a bring back the trades electrician hat." I can do that. A couple weeks goes by. Plumber comes by. Next thing you know, I got 47 hats.
Wow.
So I create a Facebook page. I start selling them. One of my friends comes in like another year later. We're selling them all over the country. I start a bank account, bring back the trades. Money's sitting in there. One of my friends comes by and says, "Hey, what do you do with the money?" I said, "Not really right now. It's just sitting in." He goes, "Hey, I got an idea for you." I said, "What?" "Well, my father just passed away, left us some money. I don't really need it, but we both went to the Portsmouth High School and he was a welder." I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm going to take some money over and I'm going to give it to the welding department, see if they can give out a scholarship. Why don't you start raising the money for the hats and start your own scholarship program for the trades?" So that's how Bring Back the Trades got started. When I tell people this, they always say you're doing so well. It is not just me. This is a true grassroots. Every single person's got a piece of this because I came up with the idea. The construction guy said, "Build me a hat." The electrician guy said, "Build me a hat." And then the guy says, "Hey, why don't you start a scholarship fund?" So that's how this whole thing started. Every single person has their fingers in the pot. So yes, I can take credit for it, but I really can't. It's been a community nationwide event. And I tell people all the time, they're like, because they think it's just me. It's not, because if that chain of events didn't happen, what's sitting behind me with a trailer would have never happened. Yes, I came up with the idea, but it wouldn't have become what it is without everybody. And that's what the best thing about it, like meeting you, having you help, having Doug Winston. I mean, it's everybody. It's
Yeah.
great. It's great.
Well, I think that it tells a really good story that when you have something of value, people want to help. You know, like we get it. We know that trades are in demand. We know we have to change the method in which we recruit and retain and all the stuff that goes with the day-to-day grind of running a business and recruiting for it. But what a great story, man. That is really, really cool. And you know, a couple of things come to mind. The mother of invention is a need, and so that sprang forth. And then the other one is it's amazing what you can get done if you don't care who gets credit. And you know, to your point, you got a whole village of people out there slugging away. And I was on a Zoom meeting last week with this other group I'm active with called God.
I know, believe me, I understand.
I
Sorry.
just I just I just had a moment.
Yeah.
It's the data center Nomad Futurist group. And Ashley Willis is on there. And I had on one of your t-shirts on the call. And I see her looking at the screen, looking at the screen, and there's like six or eight people on the screen. And all of a sudden she raises her shirt up and there's your logo. And so both of us are wearing your logo on a call that had, you know, it was just one of those cool
Well, it's one
moments.
of
So.
those things because everybody wants to show the pride of what they do,
Yeah.
you
Yeah,
know?
no
And
doubt.
it's funny, like, you know, the logo, you know, everybody's like, that is unbelievable. Like, I must have had, you know, I had a developer make it for me. I must have had so many different, you know, logos come back and they kept coming back. And I'm like, I want a girl and a guy on that logo. I don't care what you do, but I want a girl and a guy because I'm very passionate about getting girls into the trades.
Absolutely.
It's funny
Wow.
because I came up on that, and then you know, it's like all over the country now. It's just amazing, you know?
It's just really it's an all-inclusive logo is what I like to think about because it talks about trades, it talks about saw blade, the pipe wrench, you know, the male and female character image. So
But you know
I love it.
the funniest thing about it though is I kept, you know, I was seeing, because I wrote, you know, I came up with Bring Back the Trades. And for
Right.
weeks, when I first started doing this, maybe months, it might even been a year, I kept seeing BBTT, right? I didn't come up with it. Everybody was hashtagging BBTT. And I'm like, what's BBTT? I'm like, so somebody came up with that, which is just, you know, the letter of each one, but that's what I'm saying. Somebody else came up with that as a slogan, and now everybody uses it.
I love it.
So it's cool.
Absolutely.
It's just so cool that, you know, everybody's part of it.
So I think about this stuff a lot. I think about recruiting and I think about awareness and creating awareness. And I've got a young man I'm helping get going right now. And I've got this cast of characters that that are I feel like a den dad at the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts combo because I got all these cool kids that I've worked with for so long and it just keeps going. And you know, Steve, I don't know. I haven't seen enough metrics yet to be able to say this, but I do know that trade school enrollment's up 16% year over year. I feel like we're starting to get the tide moving. I don't think it's a tsunami by any means yet, but I think we're getting it. I mean,
Yeah,
what's
without a
your
doubt.
take on it? How do you feel?
No, I mean, without a doubt, because, you know, I get emails every day. I mean, you know, hey, I see this Bring Back the Trades. My son or daughter isn't really, you know, wanting to go to college, and I think this is a great thing.
Yeah.
Why, you know, everybody, somebody asked me the other day, how do you know you're successful? Well, I live in Rye, New Hampshire. I call it the old Rye because I've been here my whole life. It's a very wealthy area, but like I said, I've been my whole life. I couldn't afford to live here now because it's a very expensive area, but it's a financial area. If you look up Rye, it's on the water. Very big house, but it's all the families usually that are here are all educated college-wise. You know,
Right.
league all the way down, you know, fourth generation. I've had four mothers in the last 3 years contact me and say, "Hey, you know, I know what you're doing. My son or daughter, my last, you know, son or daughter, I really think the trades are going to be good for them. Can you come by and talk to me and my husband?" I'll go by and talk to them. 6 months later, they'll text me, "Hey, they're in welding school and whatever." If you can change the mentality of the Ivy League families, you've won. I'm not saying you won, but you're doing it. And you know, they asked me, "What can I do for you?" I said, "You know what you can do for me? When you're playing tennis next week with your girls,
Tell them.
mention that your son or your daughter is in the
Yeah.
trades, is killing it, so that you can get them to understand what's going on."
That's such a message that I relate to. I talk about trades on LinkedIn a lot, and people say, "Well, the people you're trying to recruit aren't on LinkedIn." I'm like, "I know, but their parents and grandparents are." And this young man who I'm working with right now, I don't talk to him on LinkedIn, but his dad contacted me and said, "Thank you for, and really my wife spurned this one, but or not spurned it, but enabled this relationship." But I'm recruiting secondhand by giving the parents that are sitting around the dinner table ideas of, "Hey, maybe my kid is not performing well like you. You're the excuse me, you're the fourth one in the line there. And it's like your DNA is different than the other three. And that's fine. Let's just figure out the right route for Steve,
Correct.
And that is created through awareness and ride along programs and so many things we can do to create that awareness. So I know that this podcast won't be released in time for this, but this Saturday, you've got a big event coming up. Tell me about that, just so people can be ready for the 2025 version.
So when I first started this, you know, I thought it was a kid problem. I thought it was the kids weren't choosing trades. And I'm not saying this in every state in the United States it's like this, but where I live and most of the places I travel to, it's a parent problem.
Yeah.
It's not a kid problem. It's an education problem that the parents don't know what the trades are. They don't know what's involved. They still think of them as my grandparents' trade. Like my father. My father worked in a rubber plant. I remember picking them up, loud, dirty, unsafe. Today, it's the total opposite. You can eat
Right.
off the floor in these machine shops. They have 401ks. They've got, every thing you can imagine. So what these events that we do now are for, they're for the parents. They're, so yes, we want the kids to come by, but we hit, I have a social media person now. We hit every parent group you can on Facebook and LinkedIn and, we want the parents to come there to show them what the trades do. They can talk to the vendors, what is involved. And then we do it at a school too. So they can talk to the school teachers at the same time. So the school might teach the construction trade, but then we also have construction vendors there. So you can
Right.
learn, hey, it's 2 years. And then once you get out, you so it, it's almost like a college fair for parents.
Yeah,
And
that's
we
a good
do them
way
on
to
Saturday.
describe
We
it.
do them on Saturdays because the parents are working during the week. So it's
Right.
generated for the parents. And it's usually moms that will show up. But, it's a huge success. I mean, this is my fifth one. We usually have to really try and get 18 to 20 vendors. We didn't even have to try this time. We had to turn away people because
Wow.
the vendors that are coming now are actually getting kids, to do ride-alongs and to, hire them. But also what I'm forgetting too is we're actually forgetting that there's older people that are in jobs that are dead-end jobs
Right.
that might want to do careers. So now I'm advertising to the older people going, "Hey, you can come by and look for, if you're working at, I'm not saying, any job is good, so I don't like to put down any job, but say you're at Walmart, you just don't see any future. Come
Right.
by, talk to somebody that's in a trade." So that's what these are. They're a show and tell, and they're also a job fair.
Now, I think that's well said. In the, I'll look at it three buckets of people. I'll look at the youth. I'll look at people getting out of the military. And then I'll look at people that want to transition from whatever, you know, maybe they're just freaking bored and the kids have left home and they want to learn to be a plumber or be an electrician, whatever. But I think that having those kind of events that you do allows people to come and learn, you know, to your point about your grandfather working in the rubber factory. You know, it's not carbon flying around anymore. It's like, to your point, epoxy floor that you could eat off of. That brings back a lot of memories for me.
Believe me. Yeah,
So
believe me.
I totally get that. I am going to a show in Canada that Jamie McMillan has invited me
Oh
up
yeah,
for.
she's great.
Awesome lady. So we have my company, we have two operating companies in Canada, one in Toronto and one in Hamilton. So I'm going up to see our company in Hamilton, and then the next day I'm going to do this trade fair with Jamie. So really looking forward to that. I find, and I don't know, you know, whether it's just my bias of how my feed works or not, but it seems like Canada is ahead of the curve on this
They are. They are.
by comparison to what we're doing. So I want to go up there for the one purpose is to see what they're doing differently, if anything, or are we just later starting than they did? And I don't know the answer to that yet, but that's one thing I hope to learn by going up. But that, you know, we mentioned Jamie, and there's several other people that you and I both know that spend a lot of time promoting this. And that's, you know, you mentioned Doug and his electrical company. You know, I could name off, God, I don't know, 12 people off the top of my head that really get this thing. And I have to think, okay, if Crumpton's little bubble looks like this, and I've got 12 names swirling around in this little bubble, how many of those bubbles are out there? And how could we get our bubbles more in line with each other so that we're making a more consistent message and we're getting more consistent career days or whatever you want to call what you're doing Saturday? I just think about that. Like, how do we expand the bubble or the
Well,
balloon?
we'll be, we have some major announcement coming probably within the next 2 months. We just partnered with a huge company that we're building a brand new website with a huge amount of resources that will be able to
Awesome.
help tons of parents across the nation. It's going to make it, the thing about Bring Back the Trades, we're going to have a website that will, you basically whatever state you're in. You can have a drop-down menu of whatever trade you want to be in. You'll be able to find a mentor, then you'll be able to find scholarships, and then you'll be able to find a job. So Bring Back the Trades is going to be able to take care of everything. It's going to be a one-stop shop.
That is awesome.
So we'll be able, I have to let everybody know that Doug, he had the connections. He worked real hard. So, basically he got the deal. Because I don't take credit for anything that I don't do, and that's what life's all about. But we should be able to announce that in probably the next month or so.
Oh man, that's exciting. You know, that coupled with the fact that you said your sponsorships or your industry partners for your Saturday event, you had to turn people away. All of that just to me is like we're moving the needle, you
Oh, we
know,
are.
slowly
Yeah,
but surely.
the only problem with the needle is, it depends on where you live. And I heard in the next 5 years, with the retirement age coming, we're, depending on where you live, I guess for every 7 to 10 that leave, three go back in.
Yeah, there's
So.
no doubt that there's going to continue. I mean, it took us 40 years to get to this point. You know, I graduated from high school in 1982.
I mean,
Since then, trades have left school in you know, super duper high fashion, but they're coming back. You know, I look at like this man. Evan Jarrett up in Philadelphia and his CTE program that he's got on online, SkillPoint, SkillCat,
yeah,
you know, all these different
actually
entities.
SkillCat is going to be at my event.
Oh, cool. Well, there you go. They're good, good folks. It's just fun, I guess. I don't know the right word, whether it's fun or rewarding, but it's just cool as shit to see these things starting to come around. So,
yeah. The only thing that makes me a little nervous is, you know, I'm a firm believer in kids learning from the best.
Yeah.
And those bests are going to retire.
I agree with that 100%. And I preach this, Steve, a lot to people. If you're, you know, anywhere with a little bit of gray hair or no hair, grab two kids under each wing.
Yep.
And work with them and walk them over the hump.
Yep.
And if people would do more mentoring and more one-on-one learning with, you know, young people coming in, that would solve a lot for us as far as retention and attention to the career.
Yep.
Instead of people like dying to get to the golf course and they're going to be bored in 2 months because you can only golf so much.
Exactly.
You know, I get the fact that you've worked hard for 40, you know, whatever years, you're ready for retirement. Totally get it. But you're going to get bored. So when you get bored, figure out how you can help. You need a breath. There's no doubt. Take a breath, take a vacation, take extended vacation, whatever. And this will be different for many people. On day two or day 222, you're going to get to the point where you're like thinking, man, I want to go do something. When you get to that point of wanting to go do something, figure out locally how to go help your trade.
Yep.
I think if we could like come up with I don't know even what to name it, you know, career 2.0.
Yeah.
Make that your mission into prolonging and projecting good into your trade as a mason or as a carpenter.
Yep.
Don't
well
just
that's
retire
that's what the website's going to have. It's going to have a network of mentors. We're going to build that, because everybody on LinkedIn and Facebook, you know, hey, how can I help?
Yeah.
I can't financially help, but I want to help. I want to give my time. What better way? Mentor a kid.
Well, you know, I was having this conversation yesterday, I think. There's a lot of companies out there with a lot of money, like, and I'll just use, and this is not an example, but a Grainger type company.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've got a lot of money to advertise and help contractors, quote unquote contractors.
Yep.
So because they need to sell stuff to the next generation of trades worker.
Yep.
So, you know, I might buy, you know, a wheelbarrow and a set of tools, but I'm only going to do that one or two more times before I'm done.
Yep.
A 25-year-old's going to buy stuff for a long time.
Yep.
So if we can get those companies putting some resources toward the financial piece, and then to your point of what you're doing with the mentors, and bring those two together, it sure sounds like a recipe that would
be. Well, it's funny you say that, because we just locked down our first major sponsor, but I always say I build bring back to trades off of selling shirts and $500 donations from companies.
Right.
I get, you know, I'm not saying I get angry, but it's like the big companies, whenever I get on a Zoom, what's my ROI? And I'm like, your ROI is where you'll be able to sell your stuff to people when I give
for
them a
40
sponsorship.
years.
Yeah. They're like, they want instant gratification, or they want something. And I'm like, you know, I'm building a network of kids that are going to buy your products. That's what I'm doing. That's
for
your
a
return.
long time.
Yeah.
That's the key. I think about, you know, I'm not sure how the name brands and the upholstery industry, but for me, electrical, plumbing, pipe fitting, I know I bought Rigid tools for a long, long, long time. I bought Klein tools for a long, long, long time. You know, this is my 42nd summer in the air conditioning industry. I bought a lot of stuff. I've run companies and I bought a lot of stuff for those companies. So The ROI is the legacy and the continuation, not next quarter. And it takes, I'm not sure what the right mix of common sense and financial sense, but there's some blend. And when that person at ABC company realizes, bam, it's not a hard sell after you get to that point.
Well, as you know, you've been in business long enough. Whenever you work with a bigger company, you have to find the right person in that company to talk to.
Absolutely. Yeah, that is so ironic about our company, our companies. I had this conversation just recently with a big company who is trying to make a big play financially. And they asked me about, okay, how do these businesses decide who's going to do their air conditioning work? And they happen to be based in New York. And I said, all right, think about Madison Square Garden or any of your big venues there, Trump Tower, or whatever you want to talk about. They've all got air conditioning systems and they all have their in-house guys and they have their contractors. And the in-house team will choose a company based on a person that's coming to take care of their building. Not a brand, not a colored jersey, not anything except William. They want William to look at their chiller. They want William to look at their boiler. And they're like, you've got to be kidding me. You're going to swing a $1 million contract on one dude? And I'm like, absolutely. I've seen it for 40 years. And I think when people begin to realize how relational trades are, it's incredible. Like people know if they want Shelby Mustang custom, well-crafted stuff for their Shelbys, you're the guy. It's what you become known for. And it's such a kind of a dichotomy of looking at in all of the world, one deal comes down to one dude, Steve. I mean, it's so crazy, but it's so cool. So, well, man, I know we could go all night with this. I'm just so glad that we got to catch up in person. We have recently acquired several companies in the North Boston area.
Okay, I'm
So
only 45 minutes.
I know, and when I get there, I'm going to call you. I want to come up there and have lunch with you one day and where
Definitely.
we continue the conversation in person.
Definitely.
Tell me and everybody else if they want to see the heart of Bring Back the Trades, is the website what's the best way to
So
keep learning?
bringbackthetrades.org is the website. Within, I would say, to be safe, 2 months to 3 months tops, we'll have the brand new website up and running. We do have a website now that, so if anybody's listening, our scholarships, we give out a monthly scholarship from September 30th till June 30th, 10 a month, I mean, excuse me, 10 a year, $1,500 a month. You can be any age. We do usually try and give them to kids, but we have given them to adults. It's all about the story. We help, we and I'll be honest, we help the person that financially needs the money the most, that's going to stay in the trades. You need to write an essay, or you can do a video if you want. The word essay sometimes scares kids. You put a video on your phone, you can email it to us, and like I said, we do 10 a year, $1,500, and every year we go up. We started 500, then we went to 1,000, then we went to 15. So next year we'll probably go up again, and then hopefully we'll just keep going and giving out more. And we're hoping to have more chapters. We're going to hopefully branch off to New York, where Doug's is, and because people are always asking me, can we have a chapter, in our state, which it's work, because you want to make sure the people that are representing you are just as passionate as you are. But so if you, we our main focus is scholarships, but we also do our apparel to make our money. We do private donations. We do our events. So there's all kinds of ways to help us.
Well, I certainly appreciate all you do. And for all of you listening out there, go on there and buy you some shirts and give them to your people. Spread the word. It looks really cool when you're at a company event and you see a lot of Bring Back the Trades on the backs of your folks. So
Oh, and
just a
another thing we're doing too is we're We're co-branding with companies. We have eight companies now. So what we're
I
doing,
saw that. I did
yeah, so we
see
have eight
that.
companies, anywhere from, we have a pet grooming company to electrician to, we actually, Universal Technical Institute has just partnered with us. So what they're doing is, what we're doing is we're putting their logo on the front, our logo on the back, and then the company will, like, we have a electrical company that's got 100 of them. All their employees are now wearing them. They're giving them out to their customers. We have an electrical company, I mean, a plumbing company in New York, in Boston, that's doing it. So we're doing co-branding as well.
Awesome. Well, a great way to do that. Get your company involved with it, folks, if you want to. But go check out the website, bringbackthetrades.org, 501c3 organization, where you can get a little tax donation benefit from that as well. But Steve, great talking to you. Appreciate you taking time late afternoon. So we're in the beginning of May. So folks, think about the mid-summer, late summer, going checking out the new website. So there you go. Well, without further delaying the pain of having to hang up, Steve, I hate to go because I really do feel like we could talk forever, but I don't want to bore our guest either. So thank you for taking time with us tonight. We'll just keep plugging away for Bring Back the Trades. You keep us tuned in on what we can do, and we just keep making a difference.
Oh, thank you very much, Greg. It was really nice to meet you, and thank you for having me on.
So, folks, thank you for joining us for another episode of Straight Outta Crumpton. I hope you found it insightful. I'm really passionate about this topic, and Steve is as well, along with all the other people, as he mentioned, that really go above and beyond to help this mission move forward. So thank you again for joining us. As always, you can go to gregcrumpton.com, download copies or episodes of the podcast, Apple, Spotify, anywhere you go to get your podcast, you can get Straight out of Crumpton. So get it, send it to your mother-in-law, let her know that you're actually doing something in the world that's good. And until next time, we look forward to talking to all of you soon. Thank you. Take care, Steve.
Thank you.